Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Nadia Raymond.
And I'm Marlon Bishop.
And so far today, we've been talking about Latinos who made their mark on rock history in the spotlight. But now, we're going to turn to some of the musicians strumming behind the scenes.
The people who are, you know, writing and performing the songs, making it all happen.
And first off, we have the story of a certain Puerto Rican guitarist who accidentally wrote a major rock hit and played with some of the biggest musical acts of the 70s and 80s.
Mick Jagger, Bruce Springsteen, David Bowie, Simple Minds, Duran Duran, Cyndi Lauper.
Meet Carlos Alomar.
I've been playing guitar, my God, I guess 50 years.
Way before rocking with the big boys, Carlos got into music the way many musicians do, by falling in love at first sight with an instrument. In Carlos's case, the instrument was a guitar.
I was 10 years old. And the light just hit the top of the bureau, and I just saw this shiny metal tuning pegs. And I was like, ooh, that's all I ever thought about, all I ever dreamed about, all I ever wanted to do was play guitar.
Carlos grew up in a really religious family, so when he started to become obsessed with the guitar, his family found a way to incorporate that into their lifestyle. What was the first song you ever played on guitar?
Yo quiero andar las calles de oros con Jesús. My father was a Pentecostal minister, and so then it became my responsibility to accompany the brothers and sisters in church. But then Motown hit.
Baby.
And the music that I would hear from my, you know, window as the convertibles roll by, Junior Walker and the Supremes, that wasn't church music, you know. And so at nighttime when everybody was sleeping, under the covers, I put my earphones on and my little clip radio, and I would listen to Murray the K and the rock and roll shows. And well, honey, don't you know, that music started creeping up into the church hymns, you know, that little dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and Miss Morales or Miss Aponte or Miss Gonzalez would come up to me, Carlito, that's not church music. Well, you know, I got put on what they call disciplina.
Uh-huh.
I got put on discipline a lot.
For playing devil music?
Yeah, I was playing rock and roll in the church.
Carlos was voraciously devouring chords and playing music all the time. He formed his first band in 1967 when he was still a kid. And then he started going to amateur night at the famous Apollo Theater in Harlem.
The Harlem riots were during that time. And over the airwaves, all you heard was James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. And here I am, a 14-year-old kid with my little guitar and my little amplifier, you know, going down to the basement of the Apollo Theater to play.
Carlos was so good that he joined the house band. When he was about 17, he started playing for James Brown. And then in 1970, Carlos got married. Soon after, he started working for RCA Studios as a session musician. Those are the guys who play guitar, piano, whatever an artist needs on actual recordings. So one day, he was at the studio when he heard that this famous British producer was coming in to record a singer named Lulu. And Carlos just happened to be a big fan of Lulu's. He figured, hey, I'll stick around, meet the producer, and ask him to introduce me to her. He had heard that the producer was kind of a big deal, but he honestly didn't pay much attention. And then the door opened.
Out comes this 98 pounds, orange hair guy. And I'm talking about white, white, translucent white, and orange, that Ziggy kind.
There's a starman waiting in the sky.
And at this moment, Carlos Alomar meets David Bowie. And his life is never the same after that. But he doesn't quite know this yet.
And you know me, I'm a regular New Yorker. I say, man, you sure are thin, man. You need to eat some food. Why don't you go to my house? And so surprisingly enough, my wife and I, we were living in Queens, and suddenly this limousine pops up, and it's David Bowie.
So he came to dinner at your house?
Yeah. And so we hung out. And man, when we hung out, now he's asking me all the stuff. What was James Brown like? And I was like, dude, well, what was it like playing with the, you know, spiders from Mars? And by the way, what the hell is a spider from Mars? And we started just exchanging stories.
Bowie is super impressed with Carlos, and they become buds. Carlos takes Bowie to the Apollo. They hang out at after-hours clubs listening to music. And Bowie keeps asking Carlos to join him on tour to play guitar. Remember, this is right after Ziggy Stardust, a.k.a. one of Bowie's most iconic records. But this doesn't really matter to Carlos. He keeps turning Bowie down because, honestly, he's making good money as a session musician. Finally, Bowie's management offers enough money to convince Carlos. They go on tour, and while they're on tour, they cover this doo-wop song, Foot Stomping, by a band called The Flares.
Everybody young and old, learn how to rock and roll. Listen here, something new. Everybody's jumping through.
And Carlos puts his own spin on it.
Everybody young and old, rock and roll.
Bowie digs how Carlos is playing Foot Stomping. So, after the tour, Bowie invites Carlos into the studio to work on his new album. They just sort of start jamming and playing Foot Stomping, and Bowie starts to deconstruct the song.
Before he threw the song away, he just left the bass and the drums. And my part. And so that's the way we started. And so John Lennon comes down.
Yes, that John Lennon.
He kind of like just started strumming. And it's so funny because he would rest his head on his guitar like this. And when he played, he would go. Later on, we were inside listening back. Well, what the hell is that sound?
And that was John Lennon?
Yeah. And so I thought it sounded like Fame.
Yeah. So here is Carlos with Lennon and Bowie writing a song. What's more, Lennon and Bowie leave. They go grab dinner, and Carlos, whose head is spinning with musical ideas, stays behind.
I was hearing these other three guitar parts. And so I said to them, no, I'm going to stay here. I got some ideas. I just worked these out with the engineer. And I played all my parts. And that was it. The song was done. I co-write Fame, my first song ever written with John Lennon and David Bowie. And that was it. I did the Young Americans album.
Young Americans was David Bowie's ninth album. And Fame wasn't even originally meant to be on it. It was added last minute because Carlos made it sound so good. So good, in fact, that they chose it as the single. And when the record came out in 1975, Fame went the equivalent of viral. It was number one in the Billboard's Hot 100, and it's still thought of as one of the most iconic rock songs of all time. After that, people started to see Carlos as Bowie's right-hand man.
I had a gigantic afro. There I am with a dashiki, and, you know, we were an odd couple. David Bowie was playing rock and roll, but David Bowie's rock and roll was very funky. And so did I change my funky because it was within a rock and roll, you know, umbrella? No. You just bring who you are and what you can. Look, musicians think a very simple way. A group of musicians can take each other higher than one individual musician can go by himself. That's all there is to it.
I feel like there's kind of a really cool moral to this story, you know, which is that the mistakes you make playing music couldn't end up being your next hit song.
Yeah, or pay attention to the people around you because you never know where your next big collaborator is.
Exactly. Just a little tidbit for our audience behind the scenes is that the guitar playing you heard in that piece was Carlos playing Nadia's,
It's crappy. Can say it's crappy.
It's a crappy old acoustic guitar that was actually missing a string, and he still made it sound amazing.
Yeah, I was really embarrassed.
So just so we know, what's Carlos up to now? I mean, what's he done since Fame?
He's played guitar for Bruno Mars, Sister Sisters, Alicia Keys. He's still really active, still playing guitar all the time.
Cool.